Welcome to episode number 286 of Sleep Whispers. Tonight, you'll hear a fade-out episode. I'll first tuck you in with my usual guided relaxation, and then, to fade you out, I'll do a guided imagery of the famous painting titled American Gothic. You know the one. It's the painting with the man holding a pitchfork who is standing next to a woman, and they both are facing you with this blank, soulless gaze. Yep, that classic masterpiece. I'm Harris, and I hope this whispered podcast helps to tranquilize those restless squirrels in your brain so you can relax and fall asleep. If you would like to try free access to over 400 more of my sleep-inducing episodes, then just use the link in the episode notes or visit sleepwhispers.com. Alright, why am I doing a guided imagery about the painting American Gothic for tonight's episode? The idea for describing a painting first came from my listener Tim, who asked me to describe, interpret, and ramble about a famous painting. He thought it would be interesting and sleep-inducing, and I totally agreed. So I did my first painting in bonus episode number 43. It was The Birth of Venus, which you may know as the naked lady standing on a shell. Then I did my second painting in episode number 197 of this podcast, and it was the ultra-classic Mona Lisa. So tonight, for my third painting, I'm doing American Gothic, also known as The Farmer, The Woman, and The Pitchfork. Now, one thing you may be curious, because I usually am, is what is the value of this painting? And the value is unknown, because it only sold once for $300 when the author first sold it. But based on sales of some of his other paintings, American Gothic is probably worth somewhere between $10 to $500 million. I don't know that, I'm just guessing. But I will be sharing some actual facts tonight as I describe and explore this masterpiece, such as, why is this painting titled American Gothic? It's actually a very simple and logical answer. Also, are the two people in the painting real or fictional? The answer's a little complicated, but I'll explain. What is supposed to be the relationship between these two people? It's not what many people think, and I do have a clear answer with a theoretical twist. Are there any hidden details in the painting? Yep, there's a couple. What is the most important object in the painting? And here's your hint. It's not the man. It's not the woman. And it's not the pitchfork. Yeah, it's gonna blow your mind a little bit. And I'll finish with a possible reason why this painting became so popular. During this guided imagery, I want you to lay back, close your eyes, and try to visualize the details as I repaint them in your mind. Alright, on to my usual tuck-in, and then on to tonight's special fade-out to fully tranquilize your pesky brain squirrels. Here is your tuck-in. If your lights are on, then go ahead and turn them off. If you have a mobile device, turn off the screen and set it aside while you continue to listen. Adjust your pillows just the way you like them. Adjust your covers and sheets just the way you like them. Go ahead and find a comfortable position. You can lie on your side. You can lie on your back. Or you can lie on your front. Whichever is the most comfortable position for you. Next, relax the muscles in your legs. Relax the muscles in your arms. Relax the muscles in your shoulders. Allow your entire body to melt into your bed. Now focus your mind on one good thought from today. It may be something good that happened to you. It may be something good someone did for you. Or it may be something good you did for someone else. This will be the happy thought you'll focus on if you find your mind wandering during the fade out. Finally, allow your entire body to fully relax. Focus your mind on that one happy thought. And for the next few seconds, settle your breathing rate to a pace that feels relaxing and comfortable for you. And then I'll begin the fade out. This is a guided imagery of the painting American Gothic, created by Grant Wood in 1930. I'll begin with some general perspectives, and then I'll go into detail about the main elements in the painting. The painting shows a man and a woman standing in front of a house, and the man is holding a pitchfork in his right hand, and the woman is to the right of him. The couple takes up most of the space in the painting. And the man is standing in front of, slightly in front of the woman. So she is to his right, but his arm is crossing in front of a part of her body. He is clearly by mass and by being in the foreground, the main object in the painting. But I'll tell you in a bit why he's not the most important object in the painting. He has glasses on, and he's staring right at you. He's not smiling. His face is very serious. Maybe dour might be another word. He's got a, like a blazer jacket on, and it looks like overalls underneath the jacket. The woman to his right looks a little bit younger. They're both adults. She looks like a young adult, and he looks like a significantly older adult. Now, while he is staring right at you, the viewer, she is looking to her left. Almost something in the distance to your right. She's not staring at you, so she doesn't command your attention as much as the man does. She is wearing a brown apron with a collared shirt underneath. Her expression is also serious, and maybe there's a hint of a frown. So you may get the concern by looking at her that she's intrigued or concerned by something in the distance. Behind them is a white house with a porch. And there's a second story, which may just be one room, which is probably above the living room of the house. And then the other object that you can see behind them, which is next to this white house, is a very portion or end part of a red building, which may be some type of farm building. And so you can see the White House is directly behind them, but the little red building is over his left shoulder. So as you're looking at it, it's on your right side. The sky is blue, but also slightly overcast. And then you can see some trees behind the house and behind the barn building. Okay, so that's a basic visual explanation of what I see. What do I think this is basically about when I look at it? I think it's basically about a farmer, because the clues are that he's got a pitchfork, and that's, he's holding it right in front of you. It's center frame, so it's not subtle at all. The red building looks like a portion of a barn, and he he's wearing overalls. So it seems pretty clear, and I guess the house behind them would look to me like it would be the type of a house that a farmer would live in. So that's what I feel or interpret at first glance. As I look at it further, and I begin to think about what this painting might be about, I then feel that it's probably about the relationship between these two people. Because even though he's emotionless, that evokes emotion in me. Why does he look so serious? What is going on here? And then when I look at her, I wonder, is this his wife? Is this his daughter? Is this someone else? But because her expression is also serious, and it appears to me that her brow is furrowed in some type of concern, and that she's not looking at me, but she's looking away from me, she's looking to my right. Is she trying to tell me something by not holding my gaze, or is she simply distracted? And that pitchfork in the middle of the painting is kind of menacing. He has a very firm grip on it, and he's holding it so the prongs are up, and so the prongs are very close to both of their faces, and it feels a little threatening to me. And it feels like it could be threatening to her. Is this the stance of a man who's basically saying to me, the viewer, get off my property and mind your own business? It does feel that way when I look at it. So, if I ignore everything that I do know about this painting, then that is my honest reaction. That would be my interpretation. But the reality may be a lot different. This painting may not be at all about the couple. The painting is about the house behind them. Here is the real backstory to how this painting came into existence. In 1930, the painter Grant Wood, he was being driven around some part of Iowa by another young local painter. And Grant Wood was looking for inspiration for a new painting. As they're driving around, he notices this house, and it has mixed architectural styles, meaning the general shape is American. It is a typical American farm frame style house. But on the second floor, there's a large window, and the window is European Gothic style. It has an arch in the window with a point at the top. So non-Gothic arches are just a round arch at the top, and then Gothic arches have the point at the top of the arch. So he notices that this house, it's American, but it's also Gothic style. Do you see where this is going? The house style is American Gothic, and that is why the painting is named American Gothic. The house is the inspiration for the painting, and Grant Wood is intrigued with this house because he thinks it's a little absurd that there's a fancy Gothic window that is more suitable for being in a cathedral than in this flimsy frame house. Did this house actually exist? Yes. It was built in 1881 by Catherine and Charles Dibble, and it is usually referred to as the Dibble House. Now, although Grant Wood, the painter, thought the window was a little absurd, the Dibbles, who built the house, had a practical reason for this large Gothic window. The window on the second floor opened on a side hinge. This easily allowed large items like furniture to be moved into the second floor because the staircase was too narrow for large items. Does the house still exist today? Yes, it's a museum that you can visit, and I've seen a photo next to the painting. And the house looks almost exactly like it is in the painting. So, what is the most important object in the painting? It is not just the house. It is that Gothic window. And as I continue describing some of the elements in the painting, you'll see how a lot of it is influenced by that Gothic window. All right, let me go back in time to 1930. Grant Wood is driving around. He sees the house. He sees the window. He now has found his inspiration. So at that moment, he sketches the house. He then gets permission from the current owners, who in 1930, they were not the Dibbles. He gets their permission to do another sketch in the front yard with oil paint. When he creates this initial oil paint on the front yard of the actual house, in front of the actual house, he doesn't have a man and a woman standing in front of it. He doesn't paint that into it. All he's painting is the house. And when he leaves that day, that is all that's in his painting, is the house. And this confirms that the house and that window are the key aspects of the painting. He doesn't add the man and the woman until he returns home to his studio. And at that point, and this is a quote that is taken directly from him, his goal was to add, quote, the kind of people he fancied should live in that house, end quote. It is believed that Grantwood the painter posed his figures in that rigid frontal arrangement because he wanted it to reflect the styles of Northern Renaissance art. I think he also wanted the couple to really personify the Gothic window. Grantwood was a painter. He was an artist. He did understand Gothic art, so he knew that early critics saw Gothic architecture and Gothic art as unrefined. And so I think he wanted the people to also reflect this unrefined aspect. And when you think of Gothic architecture, it may evoke a large stone Gothic cathedral, which feels or can feel cold and hollow. And I think he's putting that into those two characters simply as a callback or an homage to Gothic architecture and Gothic art and how it was perceived in the past and how it may make some people feel when they see it. Now that I've shared this information about the Gothic window, you can now start viewing other elements in the painting with this perspective. If you look at the Gothic window, and then you look at the man's head, they are shaped quite similarly. Both are tall and narrow. Also, the Gothic window has three vertical, meaning up and down, lines that make up the basic shape. There's each side of the window, and then in the very middle, there's also like a frame of some sort that just runs through the middle of the window. So you have these three long vertical lines going up and down in the Gothic window. If you then look back and forth between the Gothic window and the pitchfork, you'll quickly notice the pitchfork is a three-prong pitchfork, not the four-prong that you might visualize, but a three-prong. And it is also made up of three vertical lines. I don't think Grantwood added the pitchfork just because of the Gothic window. I think the main reason is he wanted to clarify to the viewer that this is a farmer. But I think the reason the prongs are upright and basically are right under the window, because I think he does want you to make some kind of conscious or subconscious association between the three vertical lines in the Gothic window and the pitchfork. Is the man who is in the painting the actual man who lived in the house at that time? And the answer is no. But It is a real person. Grant Wood asked his family dentist to model for the painting, and his family dentist's name was Dr. Byron McKeeby, and I saw a photo of his dentist right next to the painting. It is crazy how similar they look. It is clear that he was the model, and Grant Wood is very good at painting a likeness of someone. Alright, let me move on to some details about the woman. The woman, just like the man, is very serious, very prim and proper. She is dressed in a colonial print apron, which evokes 20th century rural Americana. Under her apron, she has a buttoned-up collared shirt, and then right over the top button, right next to her neck, she's wearing a necklace that has a piece of cameo jewelry in it. And cameo jewelry is usually made from white shell, ivory, or gemstone, and engraved with a profile of a vase. And that's basically what her jewelry is. And it's tucked up tight, so it's not like a necklace that's hanging down loose, but a little bit closer to being like almost a choker, but it's still on her shirt, not on her neck skin. Is she also influenced by the Gothic window? All you gotta do to answer that is look at the Gothic window and look at her head also. And sure enough, her head is also very slender and tall and very similar in shape to the Gothic window. Did this woman live in that house in real life? And the answer is no. Grant Wood had his sister model for the painting. So the person who was actually in the painting is his sister Nan. That's her name, N-A-N. I also saw a photo of her right next to the painting. And here you can see that he used a little more artistic license with her. Looks like her, but not as much as the dentist looks like the man in the painting. So he made some changes a little bit to her features. And the other thing that stood out to me when I looked at it is that her head is not that slender and tall as it is portrayed in the painting, which to me means he did consciously reshape her head so that it was similar to the Gothic window. Another fun fact about her is she is wearing her mother's actual apron and that piece of jewelry, the cameo, is also her mother's, which means that is also the apron and the cameo from Grant Wood's mother, because they're brother and sister. Alright, so what about this relationship between the two in this painting? Many people, when they first look at it, do think it's a husband and a wife. But Grant Wood, the painter, did confirm that the relationship of the two is that it is a man and his grown-up daughter. And so that should end any debate. But I'm going to put a theoretical twist on that, because I also did read that his sister was not the first choice. His first choice was his mother, which explains why his sister is wearing his mother's apron and his mother's jewelry. Although he wanted his mother to model for the painting, he was concerned that having her pose and stand very still for long moments would be too much for her. So that's when he realized he should have his sister, Nan, do it instead. So, to me, I think it is clear, based upon what his sister is wearing and who he first wanted to pose for the woman's role in the painting, is that he did want a husband and a wife to be the main subjects in this painting, be the main people in this painting. So, if you mistake them for husband and wife, I think it's because he consciously or unconsciously painted it to match or somewhat agree with his initial intention of it being a husband and wife. Alright, a slightly hidden detail in the painting is Grant Wood's signature. If you look closely on the bib of the farmer down low near the bottom of the painting, to the right slightly, you'll see his name and the year 1930 painted very small and carefully, like it was almost meant to be hidden. And I'll finish with, why was this painting and why is this painting so popular? The most common potential reason that I came across is that when people saw it, they thought it was a parody, and so they kind of felt entertained by it. To many people, it seemed like it might be a parody of Iowa or a parody of farm life or a parody of Americana in general. I don't think that was the inspiration. I think it was about the curious house he saw and trying to represent that Gothic window in the middle of an Americana building by making these serious, cold, and hollow-looking people dressed up in classic Americana clothing. I think the painter kind of was asked this a lot, asked if his painting was meant to be a parody, and I think he gave in a little bit. I'll read a quote to you, and I'll end on this quote from him. And what you hear is the beginning of the quote is he's trying to agree with it possibly being a parody, but I don't think he can commit to it. And by the time he finishes this quote, he kind of says, no, it's not a parody, in these other words. Here is the closing quote from Grant Wood about his painting. Quote, there is satire in it, but only as there is satire in any realistic statement. These are types of people I've known all my life. I tried to characterize them truthfully, to make them more like themselves than they were in actual life. End quote. This is the end of tonight's Fade Out episode. I hope you are deeply relaxed. If you'd like to listen to many more Fade Out episodes right now, then peek in the episode notes or visit sleepwhispers.com. Or perhaps you are now ready to fall deeply asleep. If so, good night. Sleep well.